Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Amazing Race Rewind podcast, the podcast where we rewind back in time to watch the earliest seasons of The Amazing Race for the first time. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Jill.
And we are here with the 10th episode of Season 5. We are in the final stretch of the season. Jill, check in. How are you feeling about the season at this point where that we're coming down, we're looking at the end of the tunnel?
I'm ready for it to be over, but I'm equally excited with the teams we have in this final four now. I think it'll be a nicely competitive mix.
Well, I'm not excited because my favorite team is not in that final four. Spoiler alert.
I was going to ask you how you... Do we want to talk about that now or at the end?
Sorry. Give me a second. I got to get my bearings.
Really choking you up here.
Well, so we can talk about it at the end. I don't really have that much to say.
Oh, my God. You sound distraught.
Yeah.
For everyone on the record, Andrew is sobbing through tears right now. Devastated that his favorite team has been eliminated.
Cannot form a sentence. I'm currently like exercising some sort of demon from the inside of my body out via coughing.
Yes.
So a lot's going on here this episode. Cammy and Carly eliminated. I'm depressed and going through an exorcism as we speak. And we are opening the episode. Okay, actually, I want to say, this leg seems like it's like the most fun leg we've ever had.
I would 100% agree. I did want to say, even though I know that it was a bit of a damp... Even though the ending put a bit of a dampener on it for you, I thought this was a phenomenal leg. Like, one of the best legs I think they've ever had.
Okay, I wouldn't mean it in that way. I mean it in the sense that if I were on the race, like, the tasks would be the most fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean it in both ways. Oh,
okay. I didn't think it was anything that remarkable, this leg.
I loved the tasks. I loved the locations. I thought there was a good amount of kind of logistics and play in the travel. I think it's one of my favorites.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. I think it is well-rounded. Though not the best.
That is fair.
So, this fun leg of a lifetime is starting in Kolkata, India, one of the most densely populated cities in the world. We are starting at the Queen Victoria Memorial. And something that I realized this episode, which I don't know why I didn't, like, think of before, was that the rest period must be, like, really awesome for the teams. Can you imagine, like, finishing a leg and it's like, oh, I gotta, like, sit here and have a nice meal and
you just put that together?
yeah.
My, like, gosh.
Because it's never really shown, so I'm never thinking about how awesome the rest period is.
Oh, it just must be so lovely.
It must be. You get to eat.
Especially if you finished well. Yeah. When I will say, this is, I think out of this past season, we see the most of the rest period in this episode. We actually see some snippets of the teams, but the big highlight of the rest period is because, as you know, Brandon and Nicole in the last leg were saved by a non-elimination round. And the majority of this kind of preamble is taken up by them starting to talk to people, asking for money, figuring out how they're going to do this. They're not wasting any time.
They are very humiliated by having to do this, walking around.
Which I think is good. I would feel so uncomfortable doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Walking around this very posh hotel with these seemingly rich people. I don't know. I don't know if regular people stay here, but it seems like it's a high-end hotel.
It's a five-star hotel.
Yes. Yeah. Asking others for money. But when they first opened with, like, Brandon and Nicole, they were, like, standing outside a doorway. I thought it was going to be reaction shot to them surviving the previous leg, the non-elimination leg, which is a staple of the modern Amazing Race non-elimination leg, is all the other teams seeing, OMG, that team's still here. But we've never had that before. They don't care. No. They don't care to show us. Or I guess maybe there's no reaction, but that's always a moment I love, and I would have loved to see teams be shocked that they're still here.
Especially considering how shocked Brandon was to have survived the race.
Yeah, because it was not an expected non-elimination. But they go around, and initially they are failing miserably. They say, I don't know what to do. They approach some men who like laugh at them and are chuckling, and they say, we'll think about it. AKA, they're not getting money from them.
I do like that. I think because we've seen very different perspectives on getting the money. I think with Cammy and Carly, it was very much just like a, it would like, if you compare Cammy and Carly's attempt to get money to this one, to the bowling moms, we've had three very different attitudes towards it.
Yeah, we've had different attitudes, but I think overall this twist, per se, of take all the money from the team who's gets the non-elimination leg, has kind of flopped. Like, it's not producing any drama at all, and it seems to, like, most teams come out of it, I mean, all teams so far have come out of it unscathed. Like, it has not been a detriment to anybody.
I was thinking about that, too. I think, like, every team that has encountered a non-elimination has, they've survived.
Yeah, that's, the next leg. And I don't know what the producers were thinking was going to happen, that it would be, like, very dramatic. Maybe they loved the Blake and Paige season 2 begging for money at the bus stop in Brazil. But, yeah, I don't know what they were expecting from implementing this. And, I mean, we've talked about this before. But we see Colin and Christy starting this leg at 2:35 a.m. And Colin is going to open the clue and throw his head back in like an evil cackle. He goes, ha, 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 ha. Upon reading that, they're going to fly to Auckland, New Zealand.
Which is, how many continents have they done at this point? They started in North America. They went to South America. Were they in Europe?
I don't think they did Europe.
No, but they went South America to Africa. Mm-hmm. They were in Africa. They were in Asia. And now we're in Oceania?
Yeah, I don't know. I never know how to pronounce that.
Oceania. Yeah. So continent. They've covered a lot of ground.
They've covered a lot of ground. And it seems like this seems most reminiscent of the season 2 route where they did like the same kind of South America. And they went to New Zealand in season 2 also. But completely skipped Europe.
Yeah.
Which I guess,
so I wonder where we'll be going next week then.
Yeah, and where we've seen more conservative routes, like with less extensive travel, spending more time in Europe. But like here, they're completely bypassing it.
This season, I know we need to get into the episode. We've spent a lot of time in this preamble.
Yeah.
But this season really hasn't done a lot of like bus travel or train travel. I think it has been all fly to this city, it's contained within this city. Fly to another city, it's contained with this city. Fly to another city. The only like train or driving they've done is within a city transit system, or there's been like a couple buses, but really not many.
That's so true. Yeah, a lot of intercontinental travel.
No 24-hour train ride from the first season.
No, we're not doing that anymore in season 5. Okay, so we learn that the teams must go to a travel agency to book their flights because the local law does not allow travelers to book international flights out of India at the airport.
Which explains a lot of our confusion, I think, from last season about why they were using travel agencies in India.
Yeah, that would have been nice to know. Which,
yeah.
Maybe that was talked about, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chip and Kim are departing 2 minutes after Colin and Chrissy at 2:37 a.m. And I'm thinking these two teams are, like, clearly the two strongest teams of the bunch. Like, I feel they're consistently at the top. They're the favorites to win. It's absolutely a battle between Chip and Kim and Colin and Chrissy.
They're at the travel agency together. And this is where you'll kind of see the issue of everyone, to preface, everyone is able to get out of Calcutta. They get on a flight to Bangkok. But the issue is kind of that no one really, when leaving India, has a confirmed reservation to Auckland from Bangkok. And this is kind of going to be a bit of an issue for all the teams.
There's a lot going on with teams trying to book their flights, and it's so confusing. There's a lot of moving parts. I still don't know exactly how the exact layovers that teams were doing, et cetera, et cetera. And frankly, I don't really care.
I'm going to try and explain all of the routes here just as a preface. Okay. So that like people are aware when we're talking through it. So
take it away.
Everyone, spoiler alert, everyone is able to get onto the flight from Kolkata to Bangkok because it leaves later. So there, everyone's safe. Colin and Christy are the only ones, I think, I forget if this is before they leave India or after, but they're the only ones who can confirm a flight to Auckland. Chip and Kim, Colin and Christy go to the Singapore Airlines office, I think, and Colin and Christy are the ones who end up getting on that flight. Chip and Kim are able to make a reservation for a flight that lands 20 minutes later. The bowling moms play a completely different route. They don't want to be left behind anymore. They're sick of it. They book, again, they're going to Bangkok, but they book a completely different route after that. And we'll talk about this a little later, but Cammy and Carly are the only ones who really struggle. So once everyone's in Bangkok, Colin and Christy, I believe, go via Singapore. The moms are going via Kuala Lumpur. And Chip and Kim, I believe they're also going via Kuala Lumpur. I could be wrong. It's confusing, so I was just going to lay that out. But there is some, I'd say there's some drama, especially with the twins, that you'll see.
Yes, thank you for that overview.
Very concise overview.
We see other teams departing, and we kind of get like the teams departing, like interspersed with Brandon and Nicole asking teams for money. Cam and Carly, when they read that they're flying to Auckland, they say, oh, and they're pleasantly surprised. Okay, we see all teams at the airport. We see this kind of bizarre scene between Brandon and Nicole where they're having this like childlike playful spat at the airport counter. What, Jill, what did you make of this? What was your opinion on this scene that kind of went on for longer than I thought it was going to?
I forget what exactly they're saying. I think it's just neat because you don't often see a lot of moments of team banter that aren't... I think when you see teams talking about something that isn't directly related to the travel or the tasks, it's usually done in a way that's trying to prove that this team is crumbling, or exactly, it's trying to prove that this team is the strongest team. They can't be broken. And this was just kind of, it was just them joking around.
I found it endearing. I liked it. It was fun to see, and something that we don't see very often, as you said. It was like a little character moment for Brandon and Nicole. So hooray for them. Okay, we cut to Bangkok International Airport. All teams are in Bangkok. And Cam and Carly are scrambling because are they on a later flight? Or they are on a later flight, but they're trying to get something earlier?
They're on a much later flight, so yes, they want to try and bump something up.
So Cam and Carly, their game plan is to lie. They are going to lie. They are going to go right up to the flight desk and say, we have a reservation. Yes, we do.
One of them says that, and then when the ticket agents turn away to start talking to each other, she turns to her twin and just goes, I just lied.
She just lied. And she's going to double down, stand 10 toes on this lie and say, well, we called and you confirmed the reservation. I don't know how she thought this was going to work. It was a clear, desperate attempt. She tries to gaslight the employee to no avail. She tries to go like full Karen on her, like not the bowling moms, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, she very much is. And the ticket agent just kind of says, you have no papers, you have no documents, like the flights are full.
Yeah, she said, quote, the ticket agent, you don't have the booking with us. That's all. And she silenced them.
Yeah.
But it's this kind of messy gameplay that I really like from Cam and Carly. Like, it's so nonsensical and it's so like stress and anxiety induced that I loved it. And they are like ripping their hair out. I don't know how they haven't developed chronic high blood pressure from this race, because they're always stressed.
They really are. And even in this moment, so I forget which flight it is. I think it's in Bangkok. Yeah, in Bangkok, the other teams have left. They're kind of hanging on by a thread. One, they don't have a flight out of here. And one of them is talking to the ticket agent, and the other is just like turned away, leaning on like a railing, crying.
She's and she says, I totally hate airports. leaned over crying, and then we see eye roll with like a jaw clench. It's very much season two, Marion Peach, she's losing it.
She's losing it.
So no, but not everybody has left Bangkok at this point. So
oh, sorry.
Cammy and Carly are attempting to get on the same flight as Chip and Kim and Redden and Kim, Nicole.
Right.
Yes. But they are at the ticket agent. They're stressed. They're pulling their hair out. They are like actively developing wrinkles. And they get on.
They get on at the last second.
They sprint through the airport.
Yeah, so this creates obviously a little bit of tension at the back of the pack. And I think especially for Chip and Kim, who were really determined to be the best coming out of this again and be on their best, they're definitely hitting some road bumps here. Especially because, you know, cut to Colin and Christy arriving what seems to be significantly ahead of time of all the other teams in Auckland.
Yep. They are told to go to an art gallery in the town of Rotoroa or something of the sort.
And yes, they have to self-drive to Rotoroa from the airport.
Teams are kind of struggling here with maps and navigation. Everybody's talking about how they need to get to Highway 1. We see the other teams arriving. They kind of arrive in, I don't know what the word, like one after the other. Like they don't all arrive it's at pretty, the same time.
Yeah. I will say though, Colin and Christy don't appear to have any navigation or car troubles. They're really happy with how they're doing, obviously. It's when it kind of looks like the bowling moms, Chip and Kim, Brandon and Nicole, and Carly and Cammy get there that there's some navigation difficulties because Chip and Kim and Cammy and Carly really seem to be struggling to find Highway 1.
Highway 1.
They are having to talk to people. Meanwhile, the bowling moms and Brandon and Nicole seem to be doing pretty okay.
And it is important to note that the bowling moms were the last to arrive to New Zealand.
So they're gaining valuable time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because where they have to go in Rotoroa before they get the clue, they have the option to yield. So this is going to become a critical plot point, shall we say.
It is. We see Chip and Kim asking for directions. And they ask a local if they know like how to get to Highway 1, and the local doesn't know. Which was shocking, because you would think a local would know where Highway number 1 is.
Number 1, yeah. In Canada, that is the Trans-Canada.
It is quite literally the number one highway that everybody knows. We see teams, like, they show the same, did you notice this? They show the same exit about seven times.
They have this one shot they use to refer to Highway yes. 1. But I liked that motif because it was a good visual aid to be like, okay, this team's got it. They know where they're going. And then, you know, it was a team didn't know where they were going until you showed that clip right next to them.
That's so true. Yes, that was the way of doing it. And that clip of that sign is imprinted into my brain with like the road curving left to enter Highway 1.
Indeed. So yeah, Colin and Christy get to the Rotoroa Museum of Art and History. They choose not to yield anyone, and they encounter the detour, which is clean or dirty. And not okay. I liked half of the detour. Not that I hated the other half, but I don't know. So clean is, what do they call it? It's not whitewater rafting. It is
a sledge.
It's sledging, which is essentially like a mini raft that is basically about as long as your forearms that you hold on to with your hands. And you go through these rapids with a helmet and a life jacket and this sledge. So the tagline of the detour being you come out of it clean. Dirty is you have to go to, like, what is it?
Hell's Gate Mud Pit.
Hell's Gate. And search through these like hot mud pools for clues buried in the mud. And I think it's pretty apparent that the whitewater rafting is the better option.
It is the better option. It seems like the time of my life. This is something that I would love doing. Like, I've never been like whitewater rafting or anything, but just the idea of rapids that are unpredictable rapids seems so fun to go down. And they're going down waterfalls.
I also like this because I think when you're in a group, I've never been whitewater rafting either, but the stereotypical whitewater rafting is you're in those big rafts with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you have so little control, but with this, you just have so much more control because it's just you and your sledge thing.
I love it. It's like you're just sliding right down. Okay, Colin and Christy have some tension in their vehicle as they make their way to the sledging task. Colin is not trusting Christy on her directional abilities that she is giving. And it turns out she was right.
Yeah, and this, if you'll remember from last week, was the scene that they used in the promo to be like, Colin and Christy are breaking down. And it's, you know, they got us because it kind of was anticlimactic because it just ends with Colin being like, you were right, I was wrong.
Yeah. Very much did not break down here. It was...
No, it was just a, like, genuine acknowledgement of, yep, I screwed that one up, you were right.
We see Brandon and Nicole are going to decide not to use the yield. And I was convinced that today was the day that we're going to use the yield.
Well, somebody's they set it up that way.
Because they set it up that way. They showed us the pictures. They did the whole nine yards of this is the yield and everything, which they did last time. But I think they emphasized it more this time.
Well, it did play a bigger part. So, okay.
Yeah.
Brandon and Nicole decide that, well, Brandon mostly decides that whitewater rafting is too dangerous for them both. And they're going to go to these mud pits. And then you have, well, the bowling moms, because they were able to navigate, are the third to arrive to get their clue.
Yeah.
And so they also don't yield anybody. They are off to the whitewater rafting. But Chip and Kim and Cammy and Carly, I think, are still under the impression that the bowling moms are behind them. So they don't realize that they're actually fighting for last here until they get kind of past the yield, basically.
Mm-hmm. We see a clip of a twin yelling, go! At the other while the other one is driving. Chip and Kim are scrambling to the yield. They get to the yield and they say, we choose to yield the... And they say this like as the twins as are the pulling twins are up running. Behind them. And Chip says, never would we yield you because we love you. So it was a plot twist from them.
And they're like, oh my God, Chip is so nice. He's so nice. And I mean, yeah, he is.
not really, though, because...
He regrets this pretty instantly.
Yeah. Like, this was not an act out of the kindness of his heart, because the only reason why he didn't yield them was because they thought the bowling moms were behind them. Mistake.
He instantly realizes that, oh, they took the last clue out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the car and he goes, that could have cost us. That was a big mistake. We should have yielded them.
Yeah, they should have. But it was a good moment, nonetheless.
It was. At this point, so Colin and Christy are doing the whitewater rafting thing. They try to make a little scene out of the, I guess the last rapid they go over is the biggest in the world that you can do on a sledge.
The highest waterfall.
Yeah, sorry. Colin's loving it. He's clearly an adrenaline junkie. And Christy is not so sure. And she goes over and they try and build this scene where it's like she goes over and then the camera's just on the rapids because you don't see anything come up from the foam. And then her sledge comes up and you're like, oh, what happened? And then she pops out. She's fine.
Yeah.
She has a life jacket on and everything. But it looked really fun.
It looked fun and it looked like she was going to drown. That she was at the bottom of the rapids. But no, she did bob right up. So they complete this first, and they're told to drive 20 miles to Matapara Farms.
Yes.
Where they reach the roadblock, which is, the prompt is, who's ready for a wild ride?
And I thought at first this is going to be something with horses. It's going to be something that, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed what this was, but it, again, looked like a really fun task.
The task is to, first, step one, inflate a Zorb. So, if you don't know what Zorb...
Z-O-O-R-B.
Yes. If you don't know what a Zorb is, it is one of those large plastic inflatable hamster ball sort of deals that maybe you've seen YouTube videos of in like 2015 of people rolling down hills. I mean, at least that's what I was doing in 2015. I was watching videos of people going down hills in these things.
No, it's like the bubble soccer things, except they're like, you go inside of them and like you can fit standing up inside one of them.
And there's a little bit of water in there so that you don't like get plastic burn or something. And
yeah, because they're going to push you down a hill,
uh-huh.
And then you have to, once it's on the flat, you have to roll the Zorb across the finish line yourself.
And it looks like, not only does this look like so much fun, like this is, both of these tasks are literally my dream to do this, but this seems like the easiest roadblock ever. Like you just tumble down a hill and then it's not hard to walk across the finish line.
No, and Colin, I think this is the first moment where I'm like, he really is an adrenaline junkie.
He loved
it. He does a flip before getting in. He's so excited. He's
invigorated.
And he gets out of that thing. He's like, he's on a high. He's on an adrenaline high.
Yep. He tumbles down to victory, and they are team number one once more.
Yeah, so the pit stop is literally just on a hill right beside this. So he jumps out of the Zorb. He's all wet from the water inside. And then Christy's like, let's go. And they run up the hill.
Yeah. And this is their sixth leg that they've won in a row.
In a row?
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive.
Unprecedented. And what do they win?
A trip to romantic Europe.
It's like we just keep getting more vague. Like, what is romantic Europe? Like, is that Paris? What's romantic about Europe?
Yeah. I don't want to say that's such an American show, but it's just like, you're going to Europe. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Where?
Romantic. You never heard of the city of romantic? Compliments of none other than the American Airlines website.
AA.com.
Which they could enjoy.
After the race.
Yes.
We have so much fun with that bit every time.
Bad.
Yeah, so let's go back a bit. So Brandon and Nicole are struggling in these mud pits. We don't see a lot. Like, we cut around a lot, and we're constantly cutting back to them.
Oh, my God.
Just trudging through the mud. The bowling moms get to the sledging detour, and I forget which one. One of them has a blast. The other's a little uncertain, but they are really proud of themselves at the end.
Yeah.
And at this point, I went, wow, they are doing really well. I was really proud of them.
Yeah, they completed two triumphant music. I received secondhand adrenaline from watching this. Like, I was getting excited watching them go down this waterfall. And then we cut to Brandon and Nicole once again moving like Yertle the Turtle at the mud detour. They were doing horrendously at this.
So much that, like, I think when we finally cut back to the time where they finally find the clue, Chip and Kim are just getting to they choose to do the whitewater rafting. They're already starting that. And it's like, hey, finally, Brandon and Nicole find this clue. It seems like they have been there forever. And even they acknowledge this was the wrong choice.
Yeah, they say we made a horrendous mistake. They find it only after Brandon has decided, like, okay, well, what the hell? We might as well just pray. Like, what else are we going to do? Let's try it. And I don't know if this Nicole is kind actually... of
she really exasperates. She's like, he's like, do you want to stop and pray? And she goes, just pray out loud.
Yeah, she's so over it. And it seems like moments after Brandon's prayer is finished, he finds the clue. To which Nicole says, quote, ugh, thank God. Literally.
That was a great bit of comedy. And then, so as they leave, they're in the car pulling away. And we see the twins scrambling, running into this detour. And they crack me up. They really do.
A horrible decision, girls. I was greatly fearing for them. Kymie and Carly, you are in grave danger. Your death is creeping up on you. You're in
grave danger. They have made a dire mistake.
They have. They should not have chosen this one. They have to move. Dig through this mud pit because your life depends on it. Let's go.
And now they make it seem like they find it relatively quickly, because then there's kind of this really, I will say, well-edited sequence of the Chip and Kim, who have a blast at the detour. They're finishing that up. And Cammy and Carly, oh my goodness, it takes them no time at all, really, to find the clue.
Yeah.
But then there's a sequence where it's cutting back and forth between the two teams driving to the roadblock, and Cammy and Carly are like, oh my God, did you catch the one where it's like, would it be so funny if we got lost again? And the one twin in the back just goes, hysterical.
Yeah, that's what it was, hysterical. Like, the sarcasm is prominent with those.
It is. And so we're cutting back between Chip and Kim, Cammy and Carly. Both teams are like, oh my gosh, what if we get lost? Are you sure this is the right way? Oh, I don't know. And it's back and forth and back and forth. And we see a car pull into the roadblock, and we see the, you know, through the windshield. Oh my goodness, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? It's Chip and Kim.
It's Chip and Kim. And by the way, at this point, we've seen the Bowling Moms and Brandon Nicole. Oh, yes, sorry. The Bowling Moms have finished this leg in second place.
Their best ever.
Their best ever. They're thrilled. And might I add, when they exit the Zorb, they have to, like, go through this little hole, and it looks like the people who are exiting are, like, getting birthed out of it. Because they just kind of, like, splat like, onto the floor of
this tiny hole. All the water from the Zorb comes out, and yeah. They're just, like, plopped out.
It looks like, yeah, they look like a little baby coming right out.
So the Bowling Moms are so happy. They've really redeemed themselves. Brandon and Nicole, I think, they're quite happy with their performance, all things considered. You know they made a mistake, but they went from being almost eliminated to being in a comfortable position.
Yeah, and you know what? They had a good episode. I thought that they were likable this episode.
Yeah, I would agree.
They were shining stars for the first time.
I would agree. Okay, so yes, as I said, Chip and Kim get to the roadblock, and Chip does it. He has a blast. They check in with Phil, and they know they've got some work to do. I think they could be really strong contenders, but yeah, they had a couple fumbles this leg. And yeah. Chip, and he says, I forget if Phil prompts him with it or something, but he basically just says, use the yield.
Yeah. How does Phil know this? Like, how at this point, like, how does he have... Because we talked about in season one, when they were doing... How, like, Phil didn't know anything and, like, would arrive at the pit stop with zero information about what was going on with the teams. Because now it's like they have phones. But in 2004, they didn't. Or maybe they did,
I guess.
There
were basic cell phones. Yeah, there were cell phones.
I guess they did.
I'd say it's a mix between, like, radio contact and cell phones.
Yeah, and I guess they had smoothed out the process more where they could, like... communicate these smaller things.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, there were tons of cell phones in 2004. Flip phones.
Flip phones, yeah. Okay.
So, yes. And then cut to... Now, again, as I had said, it seemed like the editors were trying to make us think that it was a race between Cammy and Carly and Chip and Kim, but Cammy and Carly pull up to the roadblock, and it's pretty dark out. So I don't think they ever had a chance.
And at this point, I'm crossing my fingers. I'm mumbling Gregorian chants under my breath. Triple non-elimination. Here we go. Triple non-elimination.
But
I'm trying to... Hoping for the best.
But it's pretty futile because Cammy and Carly are eliminated. And we have our final four.
Yes. F is what I say to that. To Cam and Carly being eliminated. Although they get a nice little send-off. They have their time. They receive many slow-motion shots of them gazing at each other and talking about their relationship as twins and sisters before we cut to credits. And I am bawling. Tears running down my face. Snot coming out. I'm gasping for air. It is not a good day to be me watching season 5, episode 10. It's not a good day to be a
Cammy and Carly fan.
Nope, it does not. Because they should have been there over Brandon and Nicole. They should.
Okay.
I think they deserved final three. They did. So, Cam and Carly, you will be missed. We have our official final four of Chip and Kim, Brandon and Nicole, Linda and Karen, aka Bowling Moms, and Colin and Christy. Going into episode 11 to Manila.
Yes. And I will say, I think if you had asked me maybe on leg 2 or 3, this is the final four I would have given you, except it would have been Charlotte and Myrna instead of the Bowling Moms. That would have been my pick for the final four.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have no idea what I was thinking. I mean, I know who wins, so I know.
And I kind of know, too, I think, because you're a really bad liar.
Well, we time will tell.
Yeah.
Time will tell. So I had an idea of how this season was going to end. Like, I knew the Bowling Moms were going to make it far because of that YouTube video I watched forever ago, because, like, the Bowling Moms, like, that's just something that sticks in your brain. And then, of course, I watched season 31, which... It features Colin and Christy, and et cetera, et cetera. So, Yes. All right, next episode, we see Colin and Christy meltdown. And
but is it actually? Because they've baited us with that so many times.
I know. It's always a Colin and Christy meltdown. And somebody...
We have a guest next week.
Yeah. Well, that too. We will have a guest next week.
Someone new. Someone we've never had on before.
Somebody brand new. And it looks like somebody is finally going to use the yield. Thank God.
About time.
Yeah. Okay, so stay tuned for next week for a brand new guest to discuss the Final Four's journey in episode 11.
Yeah, other than that, we've been getting more emails recently. We greatly appreciate them. Thank you so much. So if you have intel, we're getting closer to the deep dive, AmazingRaceRewind@gmail.com or Instagram at AmazingRaceRewind. We love your messages. We love chatting with you. We love seeing where you get your information, what tidbits of information you have. Yeah, reach out to us.
I think this will be one of the richest deep dives we've had thus far.
Because I agree.
Some of this information that we're getting, it's juicy.
It is, and I am genuinely interested in what happened to some of these teams. They were a lot of personality in some of them that I'm like, yeah, I'd be interested to see what their career was after this, or, yeah. You know.
And it seems to be a notorious enough season where there's probably a lot of coverage about it. And material to go through. Because season 4, a deep dive was a little bit dry.
It was quite dry, yeah.
Yeah.
Which so. I respect, you know, don't, you know, not to... not having an internet presence.
Well,
I have a podcast.
Yeah, because I need the juice. No more dry. I know. We got to moisten it up here over on
Stop. I'm saving you before you go too far.
All right.
Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week with a guest.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.